Hey, everybody. It's FL Teams Live. I'm Jeff Macalino, joined by Jeremiah Hensley. I guess it's safe to say it's been a busy couple days here in the National Football League. Even though free agency, I think, technically didn't even start until earlier today. Monday was, you could not keep up with what was going on Monday.
No. Remember before the tampering period when, like, you couldn't sign a contract until, like, 12 o'clock and there were guys signing at, like, 12:01 and, like, it was legit free agency. Now this tampering thing is just – it's all over the place.
Yeah, well, there's always a couple. Will Lutz was the first one, and I already forgot. Somebody else just switched, too. There's always the tampering period. There's always the chance that they change their mind.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of weird, but, you know, whatever works. It's certainly exciting to be refreshing Twitter or X every 3 seconds and getting 20 new signings. And some guy, I mean, I got to be honest, there's some guys signed day one that I'm like, damn, he went fast. I thought he would be like a preseason pickup or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it's weird that we're starting to realize now the shape of the league and, like, what's valued and what's not, right?
Yeah.
Guards, I mean, just the
linemen.
Right, the amount of money that's getting thrown at these guys, like, I mean, it's amazing to me. And I understand you win in the trenches, but these offensive and defensive linemen are just, dude, they're getting their bag. And meanwhile, great running backs are playing for next to nothing NFL-wise. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but NFL-wise, I mean, my God.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It wouldn't even be top probably half of starters at other positions at this point. Well, let's start in our own backyard. I guess we'll start with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
What you're obviously Mr. Dolphins. They lost a couple guys early. They got a lot busier in day two. What's kind of your takeaway right now?
Monday hurt, right? I mean, we kind of expected it, but Christian Wilkins, Andrew Van Ginkle, I really thought we could afford to keep Van Ginkle. That one really kind of hurt me a little bit because you got Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips. We have no idea when their knees are going to be ready, right? So, I mean, what do we do on the edge? Christian Wilkins got paid a ridiculous amount of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, Brandon Jones, I was surprised, got paid what he got paid by Denver. I mean, that was one of those guys where it's like he could have went way later. And then Raekwon Davis. I mean, all those guys, you know, going out. But, you know, here's the deal. On Monday, everybody was killing Chris Greer, right? What an awful GM, blah, 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 blah. But here's the deal. On Tuesday, he went out. He signed quality players for below average or average of what the league is. And, I mean, Christian Wilkins is making $28 million a year.
Yeah, crazy.
Chris Greer spent $34 million and signed 8 players who will make a difference this year, including Jordan Poirier at safety, Shaq Barrett on the edge, 2 great linebackers Jordan Brooks, and then also Anthony Walker Jr., who's going to make an impact. Not to mention Jonnu Smith. I mean, Jonnu Smith under the radar as a tight end in this offense. I mean, so again, does it hurt to lose Wilkins? It absolutely does. I'm happy for the guy. Hopefully him and Max Crosby wreak hell on the AFC West. But at the end of the day, if it means I can sign 7 or 8 guys who are going to play intricate roles for what I was going to pay Christian Wilkins, it makes sense, right?
And you've heard this joke already, but Christian Wilkins grabbed a bag and shockingly for the first time ever, it didn't contain another man's balls. he got paid well to go to the Raiders. That money and the guarantees on that it shocked me.
It really is crazy. So, I mean, I think Miami went out and solidified the secondary a little bit. We got some linebackers, which are going to upgrade and fit into what the new D coordinator likes. Shaq Barrett, you know, who knows what we got with Shaq Barrett? You know, 3 years ago, Shaq Barrett was leading the NFL in sacks. I mean, the guy's not over the edge, right? So, I mean, bringing Shaq Barrett into this group as well, I think Chris Greer did a great job, and I don't think they're done. I think they're still going to plug a couple more holes here or there. They've restructured some deals. Jalen Ramsey restructured his deal. I think when they signed Tua, they're going to find a way to hide that money. So there's still some other ways for Miami to make a play.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jonnu Smith signing was interesting too with the Dolphins. Just, I mean, they had Mike Gesicki and they didn't seem interested in utilizing him, in McDaniel's first year. Gesicki, by the way, signing with Cincinnati. That's one that I loved.
Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati's whole free agency is weirding me out a little bit.
Well, yes. Yeah. That was the only thing I probably loved about Cincinnati's
right. free agency. Yeah. The Joe Mixon thing, that really got me a little bit. I mean, that didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I mean, I guess, right. Zach Moss showed up last year as a Colt a little bit when Jonathan Taylor was hurt.
That seems like a weird. Yeah, no, I agree. And they're losing Tyler Boyd.
Probably, you know. DJ Reader.
Yeah. Right?
I'm hoping he ends up in Miami. We still need a defensive tackle.
Defensive linemen are hard to get this year.
100%.
Because I think a lot of teams needed defensive linemen, and they went fast, and they went for a lot of money. I mean, right now, I think Chase Young is probably, as far as defensive ends at least, edge rushers, I think he's probably the best left. I mean, then you've got the old guys like Jadeveon Clowney floating around that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really see where he's gonna end up fitting in, honestly, but he'll sign with some team at some point.
It's gonna be a 1 year flyer on these guys.
Yeah. Well, and that sort of
deal, and that works.
Yeah, I'm assuming Chase Young might even want a 1 year prove it deal. Yeah. You know. So the Saints and the Panthers, NFC South rivals of the Bucks, are the two teams he is visiting with, and possibly Tennessee as well. So could play a role in the in one of the Florida teams' futures. And let's go to them next, the Bucs. Mentioned Shaq Barrett going to the Dolphins. The Bucs also traded Carlton Davis to the Lions. Their free agency seems pretty much just to try to keep. I mean, they re-signed Baker Mayfield 3 years, $100 million.
Boy, when I saw that deal and we hadn't re-signed Tua, I'm like, oh, my God. Baker's getting $100 million in 3 years. Yeah, dude, we're done.
That's an interesting investment for the Bucs. We'll see how it pans out. But, man, they did re-sign Levante David. They added Chase Edmonds. Jordan Whitehead, but gosh, I don't, who is going to rush the passer on this team? And I don't know. I think people forget, because the Bucks greatly exceeded expectations by going a whopping 9-8 last year.
Right. Right.
And they beat a pitiful Eagles team in the playoff that, frankly, they would have lost to any team in the NFL probably, the way the Eagles were sinking down the stretch. I don't think the Bucs have gotten better during free agency. I think it's pretty clear they haven't gotten better. The Falcons presumably have, signing Kirk Cousins to a monster mammoth deal. Yeah. I think his was $45 million a year. Talk about re-signing Tua.
It's going to be bad.
I mean, and I can tell you that Isaac, who likes the Baker Mayfield deal, is not going to like the amount of money that the Dolphins fork over to keep Tua. But I mean, that's the price of quarterback. I mean, that's like $33 million a year is probably below the midway point at this point for starting quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, look, just to go back on this, because Isaac brought it up. I'm the only guy through FL teams who's been waving a Baker Mayfield flag for a couple of years. I thought he was going to take Carolina to the next level. I still think Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback. I said it last year. I don't know if he's worth what he is. But I'll tell you, is there a better fit in Atlanta than Kirk Cousins? Honestly, He's a dunk sort of. You got Drake London, you got Bijan, you got Kyle Pitts, who will finally probably get used. It's a good
It's not like Kirk Cousins was lacking talent around him. I mean, he's had the best receiver in the NFL on his team the last, you know, the last however many years Jefferson's been in the league. And he really was. I mean, who else in the free agent market is really a starting quarterback at this point? Gardner Minshew signed with the Raiders. He might. I mean, he's going to compete probably with a rookie, I imagine, to start. Or maybe with Aiden O'Connell. I don't know. On that, Ryan Tannehill's still out there. Jimmy G is still out there.
No. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, I think the teams who need a quarterback are going to be able to get quarterback in this draft. We mentioned a little bit, though, in the running back carousel. I do love Aaron Jones going to the Vikings. I mean, I think that that's a – I mean, I don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Vikings. They're going to have to draft somebody at 11, I guess. But Aaron Jones in that backfield and then Justin Jefferson, I mean, I like that a lot, man.
Yeah, I don't know the direction they intend on going. I mean, they signed Sam Darnold. I don't dislike the Aaron Jones signing, but I just don't I don't see how they've gotten better. They lost a pretty solid quarterback in Kirk Cousins. He's a top 15 quarterback. I don't think you can say that personally for Baker Mayfield.
No.
I mean, he's a top 25 quarterback.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I would have the debate, and I don't know the answer to this because I just thought of it, whether I'd rather Russell Wilson, who signed with the Steelers, or Baker Mayfield leading my team. I think I'd rather Baker as a leader, but as a player, I don't know. I mean.
That Russ thing with the Steelers is going to be interesting, too. And then the Steelers turned around and traded Diontae Johnson. I mean, who I didn't really see that coming, right? I mean,
He did some really sketchy things on the field last year. And I know they allegedly are the front runners to sign Tyler Boyd. So if that happens, they've kind of, you know, just slid him right on in there. They also signed Patrick Queen. So, I mean, the Steelers.
They've had a good free agency so far.
Yeah, so far. And they're not drafting high enough to get one of these top-end quarterbacks that you feel very good about. You know, they could, you know, so – and that's the problem with a lot of the teams that, like the Bucs, like the Steelers, who don't really have a franchise quarterback, but they're not picking nearly high enough, and you don't want to, you know, trade the farm to move up and draft a guy, you know, draft anybody, you know. It's a weird position a lot of teams, I think, are in that don't really have that franchise answer.
Yeah.
The Falcons and the Saints are kind of two of those teams that they just said, hey, let's get the best one available, and they're, you know, middle-of-the-road quarterbacks, right?
So maybe because I had a couple friends who feed me the Pittsburgh Kool-Aid, but I don't dislike Kenny Pickett. I mean, there were games where Kenny Pickett played well. I think he might have been a casualty of this new age, we're going to take a quarterback and throw him straight in the fire. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Kenny Pickett had been on the path of Aaron Rodgers and sat for 3 or 4 years behind a really good quarterback, then who's Kenny Pickett? Right. So there was word out of Pittsburgh that they spoke to Kenny Pickett before they made the deal for Russell. And I could see Russell Wilson coming in, good or bad, is going to be a great presence for a young quarterback to learn from. To learn the game, to learn the league. And then what is Kenny Pickett 2 years from now? I don't think Pittsburgh's as quarterback bare as a lot of these teams. I mean, Kenny Pickett almost got them in the play, or did they get in the playoffs last year? Kenny Pickett got them to the playoffs. I mean, you know, so I think a couple of years under Russ isn't going to hurt it. But there are some depleted ones.
Yeah. We'll see. Russell Wilson apparently had some issues in Denver with his teammates just knowing he was a complete phony, which works if you're a superstar. It doesn't work if you're struggling. So I don't know how good of an influence he'll necessarily be, but the competition should help at the very least. I mean, He does still have physical ability.
So throwing out random teams in this, man, the Tennessee Titans, I really like the Tony Pollard deal. And didn't they just end up with Calvin Ridley? So they are going to pair him with Calvin Ridley,
4 years, $92 million.
I mean, he flashed a little bit in Jacksonville, but now you got Hopkins.
He flashed. He was not consistent. He
wasn't consistent at all. I mean, but I like the Tony Pollard move. I think Tajay Spears, who they had in the backfield, was pretty good. Will Levis showed us what he could do last year. You added some more weapons to him. I think Tennessee's done a pretty decent job as well, at least in giving a young quarterback weapons.
Yeah, you know? And the only Florida team we haven't talked about shares a division with those Titans. Yeah. Let's dive into the Jaguars a little bit. They're a strange team to peg. They traded for Mac Jones for a 6th-round pick. I think absolutely a good deal for them. They basically got him for free.
Right.
Obviously, the biggest news is they re-signed a friend of FL Teams, D'Ernest Johnson. very smart move there. The receiver position, you mentioned they lost Calvin Ridley. They signed Devin Duvernay and Gabe Davis, which Gabe Davis, 3 years, $39 million. That's a lot more, you know, $13 million a year average. It's a lot more in line. And, you know, who knows without Stephon Diggs on his team, maybe he steps into being a wide receiver one.
Well, I mean, I think I would feel way better with Gabe Davis's deal than Calvin Ridley's deal. So, I mean, when it comes to the books, I think you're equal, if not Gabe Davis is a little bit ahead at this point.
I'd absolutely gamble on Gabe Davis.
Right. I'd absolutely with less money than what you're having to pay Calvin Ridley. And look, the receivers last year, they spread it out a lot. I mean, Kirk Cousins keeps proving us wrong. They had a couple of young guys who stepped up. You know, I think Jaguars have been pretty quiet. The Mac Jones move, I don't hate. Again, you got him for nothing. And the guy's he's going to be a backup. That's just who Mac Jones is. We've seen him, and you need a good backup if Lawrence gets hurt.
I don't know that he doesn't get a little bit of the what you were complaining about with Kenny Pickett. I mean, his rookie year, it looked like he was going to be a very solid NFL starter. The last 2 years, it has not looked that way. He's also dealt with a good amount of injury. And for the Jaguars, I don't know that Trevor Lawrence took – well, I can say for a fact he didn't take the step that they wanted him to take last year.
That's true.
So, you know, I'm not saying there's a quarterback competition at all. I'm just saying, you know, now you've got another developmental, you know, two guys who maybe have bright futures or maybe the lights are dimming already on Mac Jones especially.
Well, I love that, though. And this is something I always used to say about the Dolphins with Ryan Tannehill. I think one of the failures they had with Tannehill is they never pressed him, right? We're so fragile about quarterback psyches that, like, we're not creating competition. We'll create competition in every other position, right? But you have a clear-cut quarterback, and that's it. I do kind of like the idea. Put Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence together, and let's see what happens. You know, what's the old, you know, iron sharpens iron? You know, or let them get better together, and one wins and one loses. I don't like it. I mean, I wouldn't dislike it.
And what percentage of NFL quarterbacks actually start 17 games anymore? I mean, it seems like everyone misses some time. You know, it's you need a backup quarterback in the league.
Well, and last year on that New England Patriots team, Tom Brady wouldn't have won. I mean, he did some great things with very little talent, but man, there were no playmakers on that team. There was just none. Kendrick Bourne, I think, like Cedric Bourne or whatever his name was. That's your dude,
Jason Bourne.
and you had Ezekiel Elliott was still running the ball. I mean, outside of Hunter Henry, it was depleted on offense. I mean, Devontae Parker, good Lord, they were low. That's all I'm saying.
I think they're entering a rebuilding period. I was right, though. They got Jacoby Brissett to kind of be that bridge quarterback slash competition for, again, I'm just assuming they're going to be picking a quarterback with their first pick. Yep. The one thing I guess we'll touch on this before we run over to the running backs and try to make sense of what's going on there. Justin Fields still with the Bears. There were a lot of Vegas rumors swirling on day one, and those all went away when they signed Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know why that would preclude them from also adding Justin.
Right? Yeah, I mean that.
It's starting to seem like, okay, maybe the Bears are sticking with Fields. I'm very curious, because this was my own thought, and it's probably an unpopular opinion. That doesn't mean they can't draft a quarterback at number one also, in my eyes. You can say, hey, we want to see one more year of Justin Fields, but we're not letting Caleb Williams go. We could trade him for a top three pick next year if he sits on the bench all year.
Yeah.
He's not going to lose value for having sat on the bench. Now if he's forced into action and he's terrible, maybe then he does lose some value. So, I mean, it's an interesting position. I think most people assume they're either going to draft Marvin Harrison at one or trade out of the spot. I'm thinking, you want to be sure you have a franchise quarterback, draft one, let them battle it out, trade the other guy,
I'll go with unpopular opinion here that I don't know that Caleb Williams is a franchise quarterback. I didn't watch a ton of him at USC, but what I saw, there was nothing special. I mean, he made average plays and he made them well, but there wasn't a spark. There wasn't anything special. And then when you get into this whole draft thing where he's talking about, I won't go here, I'm not going to work out the combine there. I mean, this guy's already calling the shots like he's a Super Bowl champion and a Pro Bowler. I don't know how much I want to put that in my locker room or on my team, especially when I haven't seen, like, it hasn't been, I've never seen the Caleb Williams that everybody says is like, wow. Right. And I'm a little bit of a Justin
Fields believer. The year before, which I guess would have been his sophomore season, I saw a lot more then, which that almost a little bit reminded me of Jameis Winston, who looked in his sophomore year, won the Heisman, won the national championship, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. His last year at FSU, he threw a lot of picks. And I actually, back then, even researched the interception rate of quarterbacks in their last season in college. And the only guy I could find remotely near, actually, who had a higher interception percentage in college than Winston's last year was Quincy Carter. And looking through years of first round draft picks until you went back where interceptions were much more common. So I had some red flags there. And speaking of Jameis, he signed a pretty strong deal to be the backup in Cleveland. I think he got $8 million.
I like that. I mean, he's a Deshaun Watson sort of dude, but here's the thing. Look, with the Caleb Williams,
got a history like Deshaun Watson.
He does. So, with the Caleb Williams, it's also like, remember those quarterbacks, like Johnny Manziel was semi-normal until he became Johnny Football, right? And then everything went haywire, okay? Caleb Williams wasn't a name that was on everybody's radar before his sophomore year. His sophomore year, he's in L.A. He gets on everybody's radar. He's crowned the next dude. His next season doesn't meet up to that. And then he's kind of hiding himself even from the scouting and whatever else in the pro days, kind of just saying, look at my tape and pick me. I don't know. I get a weird feeling about it. I'm not giving up on Justin Fields just yet. I think the guy can be an NFL quarterback, but it was funny. I was having a conversation with a guy at work. Here's the deal. Can you tell me the last quarterback who succeeded in Chicago?
Jay Cutler had a couple good years, right?
That's it. Cutler. You're back to Cutler for like 1 or 2 years. But legitimately, there hasn't been that guy in Chicago.
Oh, no. No.
Ever. Right? Jim McMahon? That's Cutler McMahon. Cutler McMahon. But he wasn't even great, right?
No.
That's an odd, that's a weird thing to think about. I don't know if I would
Caleb. And that's part of, now I am Caleb Williams aside, that's part of my reasoning with, you could always keep Fields and still draft a quarterback. If you like another one better, that's fine. Because look, we've seen, just because they're first round draft picks is not even remotely guarantee any level of success. In fact, I would guess, and maybe I'll do the research on this before the draft, more first round quarterbacks are busts than any other position. I would guess with a pretty strong hunch that I'm correct. The first round quarterbacks are probably a 50% or lower proposition.
It would be interesting to see if you went through the starting quarterbacks for all 32 teams on opening day, how many of those were first round picks.
Interesting. We'll have to dive. Next week, maybe we'll dive into some of that stuff.
Because that's definitely interesting in what it is. But I'll go back to your thing. I remember when Washington drafted RG3 in the first round, and then they drafted Kirk Cousins in like the third, in the fourth. And people were like, oh, what are you doing? That was a genius move.
Yeah, they got RG3 unfortunately couldn't stay on the field, but right. They got two good quarterbacks.
But they made sure they had a good quarterback. So I'm not disputing where you're at. Like, bring Caleb in and let him fight it out. Again, let's stop treating quarterbacks with a fragile ego and make them be like an offensive lineman, man. Earn your spot.
Well, and I think, and not saying that anyone in the NFL or college is capable of being the next Patrick Mahomes, but I do think he is the great example that shows how important that position is. Mm-hmm. He can overcome a mediocre supporting cast, which the Chiefs have. I mean, offensively, they were very mediocre. Their defense obviously took a step up. But
and Brady's Super Bowl teams were the same way. I mean, Brady's Super Bowl teams, you had Deion Branch and, you know, Wes Welker, who was cut out of Miami. I mean,
yeah, you can win a Super Bowl with a game manager, but your odds are a lot better of winning it with a star.
Yep.
And, swinging and missing a couple times on first-round quarterbacks sucks in the moment, and it might get some people fired. But I feel like organizationally, your philosophy almost has to be just draft a quarterback in the first round every few years. I mean, maybe not if you have Burrow or Mahomes or Herbert. Right. But otherwise, what's the harm?
So, you mentioned managing the game. So let's round back around to that. It's been the craziest thing in free agency. If you're going to manage a game, you usually have to do that by running the football.
Yeah. And nobody knows where any running back is playing this year.
I have never. We did a whole little show on the quarterback carousel last year. Like, that was crazy. I've never seen running backs move like this. I was joking with my friend. I'm like, dude, I'm going to go home and download the updated rosters on Madden. Like, it's going to take like 5 years like just to upload this.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. And FAU Devin Singletary to the Giants. Obviously, Isaac thinks that's a
– I guess he's running back one. I mean
– yeah, well, because Saquon Barkley, I guess we'll – I've got a list here. We'll start from the top of it.
Let's go.
Barkley going to the Eagles, 3 years, $37.75 million. So we're talking $12 million, a little more than 12 a year on average, which, by the way, and not that he didn't deserve it at the time, but like, I think Alvin Kamara's deal was like 5 for $75 or something when he signed a few years ago.
Yeah.
Just the value of that position has just crashed. That's you can't get a starting receiver for that price.
No.
I mean, we just said Gabe Davis, 3 years, 39. Saquon, 3 years, 37 and three quarters.
That's crazy when you think about the difference that these guys can make opposed to the others. And I got to go back and look. Whoever came with this running back tandem, right? Whoever started these running back rotations, that guy just screwed running backs for the rest of history.
Well, yeah.
Was it Tiki and Ron Dane? Was it Thunder and Lightning? Was it Tampa with Allstott and Warwick Dunn?
Well, Allstott was kind of a fullback-ish. It may have been Sean Payton as the offensive coordinator of the Giants with Tiki and Ron Dane. And then they kind of kept her out. The Saints have always, until Kamara, have always had, even with Kamara, they had Ingram for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It might be Sean Payton's fault.
But look, a couple of bell cow backs did make moves, right? Shaquan being one, right? Josh Jacobs, big move.
Yeah, 4 years, $48 million from the Packers, who historically are not big free agent players, but I mean, they were pretty strong. But again, it's, you got to imagine Josh Jacobs was thinking he was going to get a much bigger payday after leading the league in rushing a couple of years ago. Well, got franchised last year.
Look, under the radar, though, Jordan Love and the Packers, I mean,
I
didn't give him a lot of credit. And, you know, I love Aaron Jones and what he brought, but Josh Jacobs and that offense and those young receivers, boy. Yeah.
I did predict the Packers to go to the playoffs last year, by the way.
You did. You called it.
This next one. Now, with the Packers, I guess we have to throw in that they've lost Aaron Jones to division rival Minnesota.
Yep.
They also, A.J. Dillon's a free agent.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
probably the best one left at this point.
I would say so, honestly. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is out there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who kind of looked like he was going to be a stud in the beginning of his career. Like the first, I remember the first game he played in. I'm like, oh my God, the Chiefs added this beast to their offense. He's an interesting case. He's still out there. And Deontay Foreman, who will be, he's just a veteran who somebody will sign and throw in, and maybe not even to the middle of the season, someone will sign.
Yeah, and then you got Madison and Ezekiel Elliott.
But yeah,
Madison had his chance last year.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of a market for either of them, honestly.
Yeah.
This next one is an interesting one. We're already diving down. We talked about the around $12 million a year guys. Take a level down, and this is crazy to me. This the numbers on this one: 2 years, $16 million for Derrick Henry. Going to the Ravens, who have not been able to keep running backs on the field for 2-3 seasons. I mean, their running back situation has been a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry's had injury problems himself the last couple of years, so it's not like they're getting a unbreakable back there. But it's sure an interesting. You talk about thunder and lightning, Jackson and Henry. That's an interesting backfield you got to defend.
It's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be all the more reason to load the box, and Lamar's still going to have to get it downfield. I do wonder, though, because, I mean, just a little bit of it. I mean, Derrick Henry's taken a lot. He's that bell cow guy I was talking about. He's had a lot of carries for a lot of years. And there used to be that tipping point, that age 30 year for a running back. When it would go down. I mean, I don't know that we got the same Derrick Henry, but I think he's an absolute upgrade over anything they put in that backfield last year. They can still pair him with Justice Hill and a couple other guys that they've got who can make a splash. But, I mean, I think it's a great fit for Baltimore.
Yeah, and just a shout out for our 25 live viewers on X right now. And Chris Bork also watching on YouTube. Hot take, fellas, the Giants would be better off giving a second or a third for Fields. Give them a chance, very little cost, and draft a receiver at pick six.
If they could pull that off, I mean, it
if
would be
you
great.
Could get Justin Fields, I think it would maybe for a second. They got to be picking pretty high in the second round. I mean, I think that would – I like his upside more than Daniel Jones.
Oh, I'd much rather roll my dice on Fields than Jones. I mean, we know what we got with Jones. I don't think we know exactly what we got with Fields yet.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And I do I mean, the Justin Fields situation is going to be – we'll be talking about that up to and through the draft, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The Giants are one of those other teams that don't really have a quarterback, but they also just gave Daniel Jones a pretty big deal. So
I feel
like that could be the Bucs next offseason when we just gave Baker Mayfield all this money. We're kind of stuck with him, even though I'm not predicting another playoff season for the Bucs.
So since we keep mentioning Justin Fields, I do think the Chicago backfield in this running back scramble got an upgrade. DeAndre Swift going to Chicago.
Yeah, I didn't like them letting David Montgomery walk last offseason. No, I thought that was a mistake.
That was a bad move.
DeAndre Swift, good year with the Eagles, gets 3 years, $24 million. He's a guy who's, I feel like, has kept a lot of miles off his leg because he's shared the backfield for, you know, with Jamal Williams in Detroit. You know, last year he didn't get a, you know, Derrick Henry load of, no. of carries. So yeah, no, I agree. It's another weapon, to whoever is playing quarterback,
For Chicago. Chicago still has Roschon Johnson. He got lost in the scramble, but he was behind Bijan Robinson in Texas. And Roschon was a heck of a back. I mean, he was a good back in the college football world, but Bijan just outshone him. So you're going to pair him up with that. I think it's a good combo, too.
Yeah. Tony Pollard, you mentioned, with the Titans, also $8 million a year, 3 years, $24 million. We mentioned Devin Singletary, 3 years, 16 and a half, like just such like, that's like what a number 3-4 wide receiver or a situational pass rush defensive lineman.
Devin Singletary will always be the second or third running back in Buffalo in my mind. Like, I mean, I understand he had a decent year, right? He was in Houston last year. He had a good year, yeah. But like, I don't see him being the number one guy.
I think he's the perfect back for that running back platoon we were talking about.
Yeah.
He can do a little bit of everything. He's just good to have, you know, he's consistent, reliable. He can catch, he can run inside, yeah. outside. I mean, I think it's a good signing. He's certainly not replacing Saquon Barkley's talent level though.
No.
And also in that same division, this one was not a surprise to me, but I know to a lot of fantasy football players it was. Austin Eckler got only 2 years, under $11.5 million from Washington. I've always thought fantasy football inflated his perceived value by fans and by talk shows. I watching him on the field, I'm always like, he is a dime a dozen running back. He scores a lot of touchdowns, yeah. which he didn't even do that last year. But I'm like, yeah, he's you know who he is? He's Antonio Gibson, who's leaving the Commanders and going to the Patriots for 3 years, $11.25 million.
He kind of is. You know, he's going to be paired with Brian Robinson down there again. I think Eckler's good out of the backfield. He spaces it well. But, yeah, not a guy that can carry the ball 25 times a game and win you games. And then Gibson. I've always liked Gibson. Always liked him. It'll be interesting to see in New England what happens with him. We don't know anything about New England. We used to know New England. Belichick's gone. Like, what is this team? We don't even know. They can split out five wide and do Mike McDaniel, you know, motion next year. We have no idea. This whole team is going to be different.
Yeah, yeah. And the last one, well, we mentioned Zach Moss with the Bengals.
Yep.
Joe Mixon was traded to the Texans, yes?
Yeah.
on my list. But I'm forgetting about the trades. Joe Mixon gone from Cincinnati. They get, you know, Zach Moss, who looked good for the first half of last year. There's that. The last one, this is for the fantasy football players, I feel like. Gus Edwards signing with the Chargers. 2 years, $6.5 million. Pretty affordable price. I mean, that's – I think that's less money than, like, Zach Bond got from the Eagles. Like, it's kind of crazy how cheap these deals are.
Well, and Gus Edwards deserves like a Purple Heart because in all that infirmary in Baltimore, Gus Edwards was the only guy who kind of semi stayed healthy, right? I mean, I felt like Gus made an impact every year. And he's a solid back. You pair him up with Josh Kelly and see what you got. I think really the Texans, what a home run. I mean, you lose Devin Singletary and you trade for Joe Mixon. Like that offense just got a lot scarier too.
And they re-signed Dalton Schultz. It was a nice under the radar.
A big one.
Yeah.
Young receivers, young quarterback, Houston.
They could be something this year.
It's going to be interesting, man, to see how this plays out. But it's also, look, let's talk about with all this running back scramble, who's left without? Dallas has no Rico Dowdell. That's their back.
Yeah, I which is odd because I always think of them as being so concerned about having a bell cow running back with, you know, from Emmitt Smith to Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, they had good running backs in between there, too. Julius Jones had a good run. Darren McFadden, I think, had a good year or two.
They did. And you're with Dowdell, and what are you going to do, get A.J. Dillon? I mean, I don't think this draft is packed with running backs.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe there's a rookie in there that I haven't really started my draft prep, especially not with running backs, because my team's kind of overstuffed with running backs.
You're looking at that QB position.
There's a lot more, and we'll look, we're going to wrap this show up here shortly. But we're going to have a lot more. We're going to be coming back talking about more, you know, the dust hasn't settled. I think a lot of the running back dust has kind of already settled. Wide receivers, there's still a lot of those 2-3 type receivers out there. So there's still a lot of games to be played there. The offensive line, the guards and centers had a bit of a run early in day one, but there's still some good, you know, B-tier free agents out there at guard and tackle if you need offensive line help. Defensive line, you're screwed.
I think we're still going to see cuts too. We saw a little bit of it today.
Yeah.
Mike Williams getting cut from the Chargers. That's purely cap casualty. There's going to be some cap casualties.
Hunter Renfro is an interesting one.
Renfro, there's going to be guys who are going to be cap casualties as we keep going. I hated Jeff Ireland as a GM, but he always used to talk about the acorns, you know, the acorns that fall off the trees. Make sure you're going to huddle those up. I think there's a lot more acorns to fall. So this can be an interesting offseason, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with Chris here, potentially.
Yeah.
Because there isn't much of a it was a good year for Jones in 2022, but I don't know if it was that good. I would have tried to sign Barkley and maybe franchise Jones and make him prove it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. All right. Let's wrap up FL Teams Live. It's a late night at FL Teams Live. We'll be back at some point, sometime.
Maybe some draft prep in this, another little recap prior to what goes down when it settles. But it's been a long off season. As you can see, Jeff and I have maintained our beards as they continue to grow through the off season. We're in the no haircut zone, but look, we look forward to spending some time with you guys again. Maybe even some March Madness stuff. I really do want to do some March Madness basketball stuff to break open this, this football thing. But
you've got the AAC champs for the regular season playing Friday and hopefully Saturday and Sunday. They're. I might actually be interested in college basketball for the first time.
That would be amazing.
In like a decade. So.
So thanks for all you guys jumping in the comments, being around, like, subscribe, do all that other good stuff. And, we look forward to being back with you and keep this FL Teams thing rolling.
There we go. For Jeremiah Hensley, I'm Jeff Macalino. Hit subscribe, like you said. And see you next week, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.